Mayor Williams?
Here.
Howard Anderson?
Here.
James Turner? James Ensco? Nancy Cartwell? Kelly Smolia?
Jim Morgan?
Here.
Beth Thompson?
Here.
Chad Nelson?
Here.
Ralph Klein?
Here.
Deanna Holland? Patrick Lighty?
Here.
Bill?
Here.
Terry Porter? Sam Cramlin?
Here.
Kenneth Atkins?
Here.
Robert Paisley?
Here.
Shane Dillon?
Here.
John Bias?
Here.
Paul Davis?
Here.
Eric Chaney? Nathan Queen? Jimmy Ruggles? Stephen Gilmore? Michelle Grubb?
Here.
Michelle Grazy? I'm sorry, Michael Grazy.
Here.
Apologize about that.
You got the last name right.
Robert Carpenter? Ron Simpson? Bill Dick?
Here.
Thank you. Ron Fields?
Here.
Andy Skidmore? Do we have a representative in West Virginia DOT?
Yep, Chris Kidmore.
Do we have a representative from Ohio Department of Transportation? Okay, Thomas Smith?
Here.
I'm sorry? Was there a representative from ODOT on the phone?
Matt Mann?
We do have a quorum, so we will proceed with meeting. On your agenda, item number 3, approval of minutes of the previous meeting of December 6, 2019. I'll accept the motion to approve those minutes. And a second? Any further discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
They are approved. Number 4, update on Kiowa transportation studies. We're going to be on the phone, so if your question is ready. The Ohio River Bridge Crossing Study, Manus Amir, CDM Smith is on the phone.
This is Chad Tony of CDM. Manus had something last minute, wasn't able to make it, but I am here.
All right. Your name again, sir?
It's Chad Tony, Deputy Project Manager. Ohio River. Yes, sir.
Any questions for Chad on the bridge crossing study? Hearing none, well, thank you for calling in, and if we have any questions, we'll call later, okay?
Yes, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, State for Cabell Wayne County, Steve Seekin, Ferguson, Knoppen. Steve, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
We had a third meeting here, what, a couple weeks ago?
Last month,
yeah. Anyone have questions on the safety study for Cabell Wayne County? I would note, Steve, that the Wayne County Commission did send you a letter of concern on a couple of issues. I understand you've received those and are incorporating those into a study or a future study?
Yes, and we appreciate those.
Okay. Any questions from anyone else? If not, Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lawrence County Transit Study, Laura Brown, RLS and Associates. Oh, we've got a handout only.
RLS here. Here's
Frank Hoppy. Laura, we have copies here, I think.
Yes, this is Kirsten Frank Hoppy with RLS and Associates, and I believe Laura's on the line. She may be muted.
I am here.
Oh, great. The handout that you have is what we presented with the TAC. We're interested in understanding what we had done already. So the idea that we have survey information that we've gotten from the drivers and the riders. We've also conducted some demographic analysis and looked at areas of growth in the region. We are waiting on our next steps, are waiting on remaining agency input, and we are working right now to develop route options, and then we'll come up with estimates of costs for those options.
Okay, question. Orange County Transit Study that it might have. Being done. Thank you very much for the handout. We appreciate that.
Sure thing.
Boyd Drainage County Small Urban Study, Deanna Miller, UK4.
Yes, ma'am. Or yes, sir. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. I thought it was low enough, but I'll go lower. Deanna, I'm sorry completely. Do we have any questions for her? Hearing none. Deanna, we thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
The Boyd Drainage County Break Plan, Daniel Hayes, HDR.
Yes, sir.
On the phone with questions too early in the process for presentation. Does anyone have a question for Daniel? That study. It must be really new. Is that a new addition? Okay. All right. Well, Daniel, thank you very much for joining us. We have no questions at this time.
Absolutely. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Item number 5 on the agenda, we're going to get the executive director's report. Chris Childs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Since we have such a large group, I will remind everyone the previous agenda item, we do have a YouTube channel. So unless otherwise noted, you can go to that YouTube channel for the presentation, the PowerPoint presentation that's in all of your packets. On our YouTube channel, you'll have an actual narration from the consultant as they go through that PowerPoint packet. So that's available to the public, so on your own schedule, at your own convenience, you can go to the Cuyahoga YouTube channel, which is accessible. There's a link on our website to watch those videos. And that was just a way for us to shorten the length of the policy committee meeting. Last year, they're going over 2 hours long, so we just took a way to cut that down. Not myself, but had the idea of creating a YouTube channel, and so all those presentations are available for members of the public, members of your staff, whoever it may be, can go on there anytime and just get an update on any of the studies that we're conducting. Speaking of studies, the first thing I'll mention on the executive director's report is the 2020 Cuyahoga Transportation Studies. Those are for this current fiscal year and next fiscal year. They are moving as fast as possible, which is to say not very quickly. I just signed the agreement actually this morning with Kimley Horn for doing several studies in the Huntington area. So for the city of Huntington, Kimley Horn will be doing a truck route study for the entire city. We'll be doing a parking study for downtown, really from downtown all the way to Marshall's campus. We've got a parking mobility study out at the airport, at the Tri-State Airport, and then also at the intersection of 12th Street and 13th Avenue, which is right there by Ritter Park, sort of that L-shaped curve at Ritter Park. We're looking at a traffic mobility intersection study there. So sort of four different tasks for Kimley Horn. And then the other, so that they'll be starting. Okay, agreement was just fine. And then we also have a study over in Ohio, State Route 7, US 52. That would be a safety study and corridor management plan. There's several different tasks along with that. Also, some smaller things in the city of Ironton that we've communicated with the mayor, worked with the mayor about. And that should be starting as well very soon in the next couple of weeks. So rather than having several individual smaller studies, we've got two much larger studies for this current fiscal year. Next up, Hauger Boulevard Corridor Project. You all are probably hopefully getting very excited about the real beginning of the design and environmental for that. So that project, it is still ongoing. Hopefully the contract with the consultant will be signed. We're told within the next few weeks sign, and so work will begin, and that'll be for Don and environmental. So all the engineering will begin here. That work should begin here in the next few weeks, hopefully. And construction will be shortly after that. So, Mary, we're hoping to see some ribbon being cut here in the next 2 to 3 years, all moving forward. But if you want some additional information on the Howard River Boulevard corridor project, again, there's a good presentation on our Coyote channel for that. We can talk to myself and the mayor on that. We can tell you everything you would like to know. But we're really excited for that. Coyote set allocated funds are going towards that. It's going to be a really cool improvement to the main entryway into the city of Huntington and Marshall First. Really excited, really excited to partner with the city, university, with the hospital, with DOH on that. The last thing I will mention is for the, you all heard of Infra Grant, for Infra Grant, the U.S. Department of Transportation, formerly the Build Grant. Those applications are going to be due, when are they, I didn't write that down, but when are they due?
February 25th.
For our region, ODOT is going to be submitting an Infra Grant application for the Chesapeake Bypass. You all are very familiar with. We're very optimistic and excited about any potential funding from the federal USDOT on that. Someone have any questions or anything for me about that or anything else or anything for the good of the order? With your permission, we'll move right on. Okay. So if you remember last policy committee meeting, we had the new division administrator for the Federal Highway Administration from Kentucky was here. Not to be outdone, the new West Virginia division administrator for the Federal Highway Administration is here today. Brian Hogue comes to us from Minnesota / Alabama / initially Alaska. And very happy to have you, Brian. I wanted to just have you on the agenda to give you a couple minutes just to introduce yourself and just talk about your experiences so far, if you will. Anything else that comes to mind? We're very honored to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. As he said, I moved here most recently from Alabama, before that, Minnesota. And I was joking to Chris this morning, my wife referred herself as Goldilocks, because Alabama's hot and Minnesota's cold. Now we finally found the right place. So we're very, very happy to be here. He was really impressed with the region, a lot of the great plans y'all have. Excited to be working with you and to help you succeed. One of our famous mottos at Federal Highways is where we're always looking to help others succeed. To be honest, sometimes we feel if you've done something really, really great, we'll steal some credit. So one of my bosses found, like, he's in town next week from Atlanta. I was like, oh, yeah. Because of that, so we did all this. So we know it. You guys are doing it all, but we're hoping to support you anyway. Actually, Chandra just drove me around the area a bit and kind of convinced me to come back to dinner tonight. I think my wife will come back to the area. So we're really enjoying it. I'm really excited to get to know West Virginia a lot better, especially this area.
Thank you, Brian. You're welcome to come back at Huntington and spend your money anytime you would like, right, Mayor? Or any of the surrounding tri-state area. And Federal Highway Administration has really been a great partner. It's been really great, very fortunate to have good partners in all three states with specific studies. We really have to. So our UCC and Chandra here is our local West Virginia Federal Highway representative. So we're always happy to have our division administrator down. The next up on the list, presentation of the draft FY21 Unified Planning Work Program. We need a new acronym or a new name for that if you're taking notes and budget documents. So that's next up in your packet is this right here. So what's the Unified Planning Work Program, or UPW? Or work program, whatever you want to call it. That is our guide for fiscal your fiscal year. So if you're ever wondering what exactly is those guys and ladies over at Cuyahoga doing in the fiscal year, what projects are going on, what kind of work they're doing, this document has all of that. So this is the document that I refer to weekly, Lean refers to weekly. More often than that, it has the budget, it's got the list of studies, it's got everything that we do. This is a document that tells everything for the fiscal year. At the end of the fiscal year, we'll have a separate document, the performance and completion report, that tells you what we just got done doing. This is what we're going to do. Then we'll have a different document that tells you what we did do. Hopefully those two will line up. So this is the draft. We've got a couple resolutions following. So the resolutions, in general, the resolutions just say Cuyahoga is okay to go ahead and submit the draft to the respective state federal agencies for their review. They look at it, they come back and comment, and in our next board meeting, the board will presumably approve the final version of this document. So this is the draft. After today, we'll send it off to state and federal DOTs, and we'll get comments back and then make those changes. So the first resolution in purple is just the Cuyahoga board just authorizing us to submit it. The next two resolutions are specific for Kentucky. So Kentucky requires additional, KYCC requires additional resolutions. Just saying that we can use some of our federal sub-allocated funds for the work in this work program. And then same thing for the Federal Transit Administration.
The resolution number 2020-007, the authorizing. The authorizing resolution, the motion to adopt the resolution. Second?
Second.
Been properly moved and second. Further discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Resolution is passed. Second resolution is number 2020-008. This resolution, Second Service Transportation Program Fund. Motion to adopt the resolution.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and it is adopted. The next one is the Kentucky FTS.
Yes.
It is resolution number 2020-009. Motion to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Been properly moved and second. Further discussion. Not all in favor say aye. Then the last one of this group, I think, is I did these singularly. Since we were mixing states up, I didn't want to. That's just the way I know. I'm chairman. I do it if I want to. Okay. The next one is the fiscal year 2021 fringe rate calculation, which is provisional indirect cost rates. There's a motion to approve these rates. For a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are approved. Number 8 on our agenda, Technical Advisory Committee Tax Report. Mr. Paul Davis, Tax Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. We met this past Tuesday at your Technical Advisory Committee, and about a two-hour meeting. We accomplished a lot. We saw presentations on a lot of things that we're talking about today. But a couple of things that came out of our Technical Advisory Committee meetings is a couple of resolutions that need to be approved by this body. And one of them is the draft transportation and approval program for 2021 and 2022, or 2024, excuse me. And And we will need a motion to approve that resolution. If you want to do these separately, we can. Chairman, it's up to you. Did you have the gavel?
Yes.
Okay. You want to go ahead and make it?
Yeah. 2020-010 is, this one is a motion to approve the TIF program.
Second.
Any further discussion? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. No? Okay.
Sorry. Getting to the big hurry. The second item that will need a resolution, that will need a motion, is the Transportation Performance Management Coordination Update, PM1, and for the safety performance target settings. And so we'll need a motion to approve that too, and that was reviewed and recommended by your policy or technical advisory committee to the policy.
Okay, resolution number 2020-011 is this one that Paul just explained. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution? And second, we move to second. Further discussion? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The resolution is adopted. And you're going to do a
transit systems update. And I want to ask Michelle Grubb here to give us an update on Ashland. What's going on in the Ashland community?
I have technically transitioned out of that position, and they're in the process of rehiring for that, so I'm still staying plugged in and involved. But we've seen a lot of great improvements with our bus system, continuing to grow our ridership. We've got two of our new buses in, getting their decals and everything ready to hit the road, and smaller one on the way that will be in March. And continue to update with our scheduling and go a little further, looking at software mobility management a little bit, as well as some other software for paratransit. I'm in the era. I'm looking at Echo Lane as a possibility that's demoed with them. But everything is going great, and we love the bus system.
We love the bus system. Yes, we do. We can jump across the river to either Neil Vegas or Ralph. Want to give us an update?
Ralph. Basically, I heard a little bit from the study that's going on right now is we're reevaluating our fixed routes. You know, we're continuing to operate things. And we've gotten some input to local employers and sites, so it's time to reevaluate. So we're looking at that. Our demand response continues to grow, especially for medical, but then a lot of things that we've been doing now have been tied to our one-stop center with a lot of demand response trips with that. We're talking with our vocational school and some of the other destinations there to possibly trying to expand some demand response service for those groups. So, I don't know.
Business is picking up, right?
Business is picking up.
So, just as for CPA is concerned, a couple of things that are really important. The levies, the property tax levies for the support public transportation here in Huntington, and the other levies, Health Department, EMS, will be on the ballot on the primary May 12th, and it's so important that we continue these levies for our community. Nothing new as far as the tax increase, it's just a continuation. And for TPA, if you're in Huntington, do get to vote twice. Vote early, vote often. The other thing that I have is that thanks to the sub-allocated funds, CPA will be, and Tioga and the policy and everybody that supported that effort, we will be receiving four new buses in July. That's a big effort for us. Big deal. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. That's all we have.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Number 9, Regional Transit Activities, Terry Sickin.
I'll move it out from the corner. So the first item is the Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan.
there was a ruling to go into effect July 19, 2019, that all the transit agencies had to come up with a safety plan. So we had been and coordinating with all the three states for each of those. So kind of the status on that right now is West Virginia is working and with TTA, and that my understanding is almost complete. Then Lawrence County or Lawrence County Transit, ODOT has taken the lead on that as well, and they're in the work to complete some updates and some questions that they're trying to, you know, to finish their report. So that's going on track well. And then the city of Ashland, the KYTC did not take the lead role on that. So there was some funding available, and we're providing assistance to the city of Ashland to complete their public transit safety plan. And we have are using RLS to complete that. And from my understanding, the draft plan is complete, and it is down at the city of Ashland for review. And so they have to go through a couple of readings before approval. But everything seems to be on track. All these need to be in place by July 19, 2020. And so right now it seems to be going fine. We should all meet those deadlines. So that's kind of the federal update with that. So, do they have any questions about the transit plan? The other one is kind of a new thing that we're kind of venturing out into. It's called the Go Ohio program, and it is it's a rideshare program, and we have actually dedicated some funding from our work program for the next 3 years, and pretty much is that if you get on the website, you can look at the website, and you can type your name in where you want to go, and you have to be a user, so you sign up for it. And it will match you to somebody else that might be going the same direction, or if there's you might be able to make a bus connection to bus, so you may have a bicycle or maybe an Uber to the bus station, and then the bus can take you somewhere else, or you can carpool with everything. But it's a database with all this information that that individuals will have to put into it. So we are starting to coordinate with several different agencies. We have Access to Care, which is in Kentucky. We're going to start trying to get with OU Southern, which this is, like I said, kind of new, so that they can work with, put out some literature or something so that those individuals can actually sign up and maybe get some their transportation services. You know, we recognize that there's some issues, you know, getting people from one place to the other. Now, this is actually an initiative only for Ohio. If you use this Go Ohio database, it actually will go through the other states as well. I mean, I kind of tried it out, but it's only as good as many people sign up. So if you don't have anybody to match, you can put your name in there, but there's nobody there. So we're going to try to call on all of you all to help us get names that people maybe sign up for that might have an interest. So if we need to come out and speak to your group, then we'll be coming out once we get more involved. And right now, this is just the very beginning, so we have a lot to learn. But once we get a little bit further along, we would like to try to come out and either set up a time we can maybe enter names or talk to, you know, the Kiwanis or whatever group that you might be with. So that's kind of to look forward to. And it's a 3-year trial period.
I just want to mention, sorry, that this is a statewide program in all areas across the country.
Right. We're coordinating. We actually have a contract with Morphe, and they're the head agency. They're the one MPO in Columbus, and they're the head agency that leads all of the MPOs throughout that. So we're not the lone MPO. It is a consortium between all of them. So.
Questions?
Hello?
Yeah. They're calling in for a ride. Harry, thank you so much. And something we started is each meeting try to highlight a different area and have someone from that area speak to us. And this month we are honored to have with us the mayor of Huntington, Steve Williams, to tell us all the good things that he's got coming up this spring. And I know we have to be done by 3, okay? Oh, Mayor?
We're fortunate that so many seeds that we planted in the last 6-7 years are now finally starting to show. The harvest isn't there yet, but we're starting to see some growth that's starting to come up. You might recall a few years ago when we were participating in the America's Best Communities competition, we presented a program that was unusual for communities our size across the nation. We were showing that there were 4 different project areas that we were focused on. The Highlawn area right next to Marshall University, where ACF Industries is and Flint Pigments is located. On the Halbreer Corridor, which we were just speaking about with Chris Cave's report about, particularly with the highway, but the Northcott Court area, there was a former public housing project that was built in the late 1930s. While the buildings themselves were sound, the way the design was, it just became a haven for crime. And the housing authority decided to tear that down. This location right next to the hospital, talking about how that area can be transformed. At the West End, what we have seen, and so many of you who have been in the area, particularly in the Huntington area, the last 40 to 50 years, with some of the gray hair around here, a bunch of us have been around that long. The one thing that would always be said about Huntington is that when they arranged to have the interstate built around the city, that the downtown core started to die. The whole idea was, supposedly, is that if you had an interstate that was leading right up to a commercial area, that area would thrive, and that's why the downtown core in Huntington it started to deteriorate. What they never really took note of is that there was one part of Huntington, the 14th Street West area, and all of that land right there is less than 1/4 mile off of the interstate. 20 million plus cars a year travel by, but nobody seemed to be getting off there. And if the area was going to indeed grow because of having interstate access, the downtown of Huntington, if you follow that thought, the downtown of Huntington would have shifted over towards 14th Street West, and it didn't happen. All that did, in my opinion, was kind of pointed to the leadership within Huntington, is that it was akin to being 1/4 mile from the river, but still dying of thirst, because you haven't figured out how to get water over to you. Our idea was that we have to be able to lift that area up too. And there were folks that were saying to us, don't go for the 3 different areas. Identify one and focus on it. Get that done and then go on and do something else. But you all know how Huntington has declined over the years. And the effect of Huntington declining has had an effect on the entire region as well. We don't have time to wait to do one project in about 10 years and then go do the next project and build on that. We just don't have time. So we said, we have to go do all of them. Obviously, there were some folks who were following that and some professionals that were judging the 352 communities around the country that were participating in that America's Best Communities competition. Found what we were doing was compelling. There were really only 3 requirements. 1, there had to be a plan that was put together by the community, not by the city, not by the Chamber of Commerce. It had to be put together by the community. Secondly, it had to have some short-term growth that would be able to demonstrate. And thirdly, it had to have long-term sustainability that was going to work in the long term. And we stuck with that, and as you all know, we were fortunate to be able to win at that competition. We won $3 million that was helping us Well, the $3 million is finally going to work. What we have done is a significant part of it has helped us start to acquire property over in the Highline area, just east of Marshall University. It's amazing. Sometimes it helps to be luckier than good. Bill, some of us would even say it's a bit providential how some of these things kind of come up, because everything that we've been working on was somebody else's property. What we were looking at over in the Highline area, you have Flint Pigments. They were saying, no, we're not going to sell. ACF, and they were saying, we're not going to sell. And then in a matter of a 45-day period, Flint Pigments came and sent a broker to us and said, we're ready to sell 8 acres, 12 acres on the south side of Fifth Avenue, 8 acres on the north side of Fifth Avenue. Long story short, we bought the 8 acres. There's another man from down in Mingo County who has acquired the 12 acres. He hasn't announced anything yet, but he's bought it. His intention is to go and tear down that factory there and then partner with Marshall University on the development to be determined. When we bought the 8 acres, the plan was to have the baseball stadium, a baseball stadium that met minor league standards and also met the standards, the minimum standards that the NCAA requires to host a regional NCAA baseball tournament. Interestingly enough, a year ago today, we had the groundbreaking for the property, and in the meantime, we have since transferred the ownership to Marshall University. There was an article in the paper that the bids have come in a little bit higher than normal. The last time this property from Fifth Avenue to the river wasn't heavy industrial in 1872, but the city was being founded in 1871. That was when they decided they were going to start building railroad cars to ship the raw material back to the East Coast. That's the last time this land was heavy industrial. Needless to say, there's some contamination there that we're having to deal with. We did some work in advance. Some of the developers, as they were looking at it and the bids that have come in, there's a little bit of a fear that there might be more there, and we're working with Mark to try to address that. But it is coming in a little bit more. The stadium's still going to be built. About as much as we were trying to continue to work with ACF on acquiring, it was Flint Pigments that came up first to tell us our property is for sale. So we went all in to be able to buy that property, and about the same time, I was in New York for another meeting and made arrangements to go in to meet with ACF. I'll talk to you about that on the side. It was a fascinating discussion, but they said, well, it's interesting you're coming in to talk with us today because we were about to make a decision to put our ACF property in the hands of a real estate broker and we were going to sell it. And I said to them, if you're going to sell it, there's only one entity to sell it to, and that's the city of Huntington. You don't go anywhere else, and we had an agreement, but that basically is the case. It took about 2 years to be able to close the darn thing. We took ownership of the property recently. The Huntington Municipal Development Authority bought it. We bought it for $3.1 million. The way that we came to the $3.1 million is tried to project what the cleanup might be, and the acquisition and cleanup we felt couldn't exceed $8 million in order for us to be able to afford it. We received some support, federal support, EPA support, Economic Development Administration support, support from the State Department of Commerce, and we put a package together. Now we're bringing together a proposal asking. We're looking to see if there could be one developer that's interested in coming in to take over the farm. There are others who are coming in and talking with us. This is a game changer for us in Huntington. Because what this is going to be, from Fifth Avenue to the river, right next to the university, right down the street from St. Mary's Hospital, rail siding, river, major highways, dissecting the property. This is a game changer for us, and we believe that it ends up being a game changer for the region. Simply put, one thing that we've learned is that whenever Huntington is only looking out for itself and trying to identify what is it that we can do, we kind of die on the vine. When we start saying, what might we be able to do that can be helpful to make sure that part of the reach of the Ohio Valley, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, is able to grow, we believe that this becomes the economic gateway to the Appalachian region. Now, those of you who know me know that I'm optimistic anyway, but everything is pointing to it. Again, you have Marshall University, now a research institution. It isn't what it was 50 years ago, a teacher's college. Now it's a research institution with Mountain Health Network that has been developed with Cattle Huntington and St. Mary's coming together as a regional medical center. There are all of this timing couldn't be better for us. On the Hal Greer, with what we're trying to do with the corridor, the one point that if you believe as I do in an efficient marketplace, the market conditions will be able to dictate what's going to happen to an area. Cattle Huntington Hospital, partnership with the medical school, the pharmacy school that's just located, the construction that's going to occur naturally because of the Hal Greer Corridor and because of what we're doing with the Hal Greer Corridor on transportation. That property is going to develop privately, working with the housing authority soliciting proposals from developers for court, but we think it's also, and we expect that it's also going to have a broader effect within the neighborhood nearby as well. The last part of the America's Best Communities competition was having broadband come into the area. So I'm about to talk about something that hasn't been talked about too terribly much publicly, and I'll just mention it briefly. If you're familiar with what Facebook is planning from your headquarters in Virginia to Columbus, and they're going to be laying fiber all along the way, well, where they're going to be laying fiber is along Route 60 in Virginia. Route 60 comes right into the money. Big question that we don't know, is it going to be on 5th Avenue or 3rd Avenue? It's going to go by right through our High Lawn property, right by or through Marshall University. Of the 128 strands that are being laid, I think 12 strands are going to be available for public access, and there will be junctions along the way. Here's how I see that our risk is right now. So many of you in your own enterprises have learn to assess risk as how do you mitigate the downside. What we believe that our biggest challenge is, will we be prepared for the upside risk? Are we going to be prepared to be successful? Because what is about to come in, if we're not prepared for it, it will run us over. And then while it's a good problem to have, but we've got to be in a position to be prepared to be able to handle that. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, and timing is everything. People have times right there. Thank you.
Mayor, thank you very much for the update. I just have one question. What are you doing in your spare time?
Think about how to keep up with Wayne County.
Oh, well, good luck. Thank you. It's an exciting time. And the region, and I'm so glad for that. All right, number 11, federal, state, local update, Federal Highway Administration, our friend, supporter, and partner, Chandra English-Smith, you have something for us today?
So the only thing I really have to talk about is to remind you that you probably remember, I'm sure, 4 years ago we had a TMA certification, because after the last census, the area was made into a TMA. So it's been 4 years, believe it or not, so it's time for another TMA certification. We've got that scheduled for April 8th and 9th. We will have all three FTA regional partners in here. We'll have all three Federal Highway Division offices representative. We'll have all the states here and all that kind of stuff. So you can imagine it's going to be a really big, exciting transportation party. So we will have a public meeting that's associated with that the night of the 8th. Everybody's, of course, welcome to come and talk and, you know, put in comments, stuff like that, and we'll get some more information out to you. But just so you know, it'll be the second certification in the region. It'll involve Kiowa and Rick, both MPOs in the TMA. And so we're looking forward to it and just wanted to let you know. Other than that, I don't really have anything else to push federally other than, you know, apply for infra grants and bring some more money to the region. So we've been pretty successful in all the last ones the states have, so it's good to see some more money coming into the area.
Questions? Don, we thank you for being here again and being our friend and partner. You always do a good job. From the West Virginia DOT, Chris Kennedy.
Thank you. Yes, as far as the WBDOT goes, we are starting to go through cost negotiations with our consultant that we selected to develop our long-range transportation plan. Once that gets finalized and authorized, we'll be coordinating with all of the MPOs throughout that development process. Our STIP Amendment 1 public comment period literally just closed yesterday, from what I was told. So once I get back and work with our programming division a little bit more, we'll coordinate with Salim and your all staff to make sure we have STIP information. All that information as well. The project updates, speaking of infra, I had a meeting with Commissioner Jimmy Grissom and Secretary Byrd, and it was discussed a few projects throughout Kiowa that we were considering applying for infra grant funding for. One of those was Culloden, and the other was the I-64 widening job from 29th Street to Guyandot. And after going back and forth with them a little bit, they ultimately just decided not to apply for either one of those, mainly because there was no set discretionary grant award date. So we didn't know if those were going to be awarded before we would want to award the project. So essentially, they were like, well, let's not delay the project on hopes that we're going to get this funding. Let's just roll out the project. So that's what they're doing, and those two are well underway. I have updates on Culloden and that one both, actually. Plans for Culloden are due to be finished this spring, and a fondee is expected to be signed on March 28th, is what they're saying. So I would say at some point this spring they're expecting to meet for clearance. And once that's clear, they can go ahead and move on and begin the right-of-way process. And they said that'll take about a year or so. About this time next year, right-of-way should be taken down. Then they'll look at awarding for construction and all that fun stuff. I-64, 29th Street to Guyandot, PS&E has been completed, and it was actually sent to contract admin for advertisement. We're looking at going to construction sometime this construction season. Whether they get dirt moving at that time, who knows, it might be a year from now before they actually push dirt, but it is moving along quite well. I-64 Merritts Creek to Huntington, just driving through it twice this week. They are moving dirt, and it's going well. And then the fun one is Tosha Highway in Wayne County. I actually talked with our engineering division, and they received a letter from your Wayne County Commission requesting an update. And I pushed them pretty hard to get kind of detailed information, but they weren't able to provide us with any, like, hard dates and anything like that. They just said that it is still going through the NEPA process, specifically that archaeological find that they had. And because of that, they've since had to narrow the footprint of our roadway, our design, our alignment. But they said that they're going to issue you all an official response letter with way more than that outline. And they said hopefully by the end of next week, but by the time it gets through all of our internal stuff to get out the door, it might be 2 weeks before we get it. But you could look for that as well.
And yeah, we'd like to have it. I see some dirt fly on.
Oh, yeah.
Just a question that I have. Talk about the new long-range study. Mm-hmm. In building a new long-range study, was there a study, the last long-range study, to see where they had succeeded or not succeeded? Or
they are
we see all these studies, but I don't see results.
I think as part of our last, it's been 10 years since we've done a long-range transportation at the highway department. And since then, there's been tons of upgrades, so to speak, as far as requirements go at the federal level. And so enhancing our long-range plan to accommodate all of those requirements will definitely be a huge part of that. It'll include performance measures and all that fun stuff, TAMP compliance, which is the asset management plan. And then also it, the list where the GOBOND, if you remember back whenever, I forget how many years ago it was, but when we were going around GOBOND initiative, the list of projects that program was based off of came from the Long Range Transportation Plan. So that's where a lot of these large projects were coming from. So it's kind of like seeing that. But they are definitely going to be revisiting that plan as part of the process.
I think the Brian can probably roll back a lot of those new restrictions and new regulations. So while you're here, can you take care of that one? Understood. But I just curious about that from my own.
Yeah.
Any questions? Thank you very much. From the KYTC Central Office, Tom Swift.
All right. First of all, I guess I'll just provide a brief projects update. There's a handout in your packet that the District 9 staff prepared. So just to touch on a few projects that have changed since our last meeting. In Boyd County, improvements to US 60 from I-64 to Kentucky 180. They're continuing final designing and finishing up right-of-way acquisition on that project. And then in Greenup County, there's a Safe Routes to School project in Russell, and we're going to try to advertise that again. It's been advertised several times, but no success so far. So we're going to try to advertise that again in the spring. And let's see, sidewalks along Powell Lane and Flatwoods, they should be acquiring right-of-way in the spring with the construction later this year. Then the other thing I wanted to mention is we do have our recommended highway plan that we've given to the General Assembly. So the recommended six-year highway plan, and that's available on our website now if you're interested in looking at it. Maybe a little hard to find, but it's on the program management portion of our website. And as far as it's a recommended plan, so of course the legislature will have an opportunity to make changes to it before they enact the final plan. But there are a few projects in this area in Boyd and Greenup counties. We've got a couple planning studies in Boyd County, one on Blackburn Avenue and another on Kentucky 716 near the US 60 intersection. We have several guardrail projects. The US 60 project, which I mentioned earlier, that's actually been converted from state to federal funding in the proposed plan. So that gives it good prospects for moving forward if that continues to be federally funded. And then as far as Greenup County goes, we have several new guardrail projects in there. Then also Kentucky 207, the design funds have been moved into the biennium, which is the first 2 years of the six-year plan. So if there are no changes to that, it should have design funding in the near future. That's all I have as far as projects go and the six-year plan. I don't know when they'll enact the final six-year plan, but hopefully sooner rather than later, because it does tie into the TIP, which the MPO is working on. Depending on how the final plan looks, we may have to make a few changes to that TIP. Then the only other thing I'll mention, we have had some changes in our administration. Jim Gray is the new Secretary of Transportation. He's the former mayor of Lexington, Kentucky. We've also had changes in the district office, and Michael Reed is going to be the new planning person there for now. So he should be coming to these meetings.
Forward to me.
Yeah.
Any questions? We'll go on to local communities, and Thomas, do you have anything else to give us from the board in Greenup County area that you want to talk about?
No, I went over the projects the District 9 put together, and that's pretty much all I had. The information, like I said, is in your packets.
Lawrence County, Patrick Lydie.
We got just a couple projects. We have the County Road 10A bridge replacement. That bridge is, project's not complete. There's still some punch list that we're waiting to do once the season breaks and back up there to do that. But the bridge is open traffic right now. We have the County Road 410 section improvement. That was a roundabout. We put that on hold because of the green key that's going to go down there at County Road 410 on US 52. It's within 500 feet of that roundabout, so we kind of got concerned about what the operations of that would, what the effect would be with that green key project. We have the County Road 104. That's a bridge replacement. That's listed for fiscal year 23. I'm trying to get that ahead forward to finish the big document for that and try to get funds to become available for next year. And then there's the US 52 at State Route 243 interchange project. That's a $2.8 million double roundabout on either side of the interchange. And we're still listed for this year. We're looking at maybe doing some ARC access road to help out with that project. Haven't heard anything on that. That's all I got
going on. Thank you. Any questions? Thanks again. Ironton, Mark
Dickens? We have our North 5th Street Municipal Bridge project pretty much in its infancy stages, looking at design. We right now are working with ODOT trying to obtain a right-of-way and some access points off of 52. We have to do that both for the construction traffic as well as the residents that are affected by this. Even though it's a small area residence wise, we've got a water main that goes through this bridge, so it's very important infrastructure wise. So we're looking forward to moving forward with that.
Lots of things going on. Ashland, we have Dr. Gray.
Great. The thing of most interest for this group is that as a result of our comprehensive plan and also a presentation by Roger Brooks, an internationally known downtown redeveloper, we'll relook at the traffic pattern downtown proper between 13th and 18th Street to see if we can reduce the traffic flow down there in line with the downtown redevelopment concept. So we're working closely with KYTC on that. Also, the feasibility study that's been funded through CIO is a real key part of that. So we're parking, traffic flow, and a lot of other factors. Probably the most exciting thing that we've got to go on, in addition to some other things. Drive through there, you'll see the Doug Plaza. Got some redevelopment going on. It's had a very high impact on traffic. So that's part of a bigger picture for him. So, I like
it. So one thing we have in this region, I don't know much about other regions, but you can go from Huntington to Ashland to Ironton to Chesapeake or what? What a great opportunity we have here, and we probably don't tell our own story well. And it's just tremendous communities to live in and be in. So we can be thankful we're here. We just need to tell everybody else about it. Do you have something you want to do now, Mr. Chairman?
Not Chairman, just Chairman.
Well, Mr. Director, yeah, you get paid.
We'll double your salary.
We love it.
I got 4 zeros next year.
The next chairman next year is going to start to have a salary. But you'll need to start at that point.
I'll contribute to it.
I just wanted to take just to mention, I apologize. I forgot to mention my director before, because I wanted to single out Mike Browning from Senator Manchin's office and Terry Booth from Congresswoman Miller's office. Thank you all for coming. I know you're not just here for the food, although that's a large part of it, but we
I will be putting it on Facebook a little bit later so they can see
how great it was. Well, we're really fortunate to have such a strong bipartisan congressional delegation, not only in Virginia, but really in all three of our states. So it's rare that you all miss the meeting, so we really do appreciate it.
And say, you want me to do that under old business. I don't consider you all old business. You're new every time we see you, there's something there. But bring us to number 12. Is there any old business to come before the board today? Hearing none, number 13. I'm going to number that 14. We don't want to stop at 13. New business. We have our next meeting May the 1st, 2020. Here. It's good to see this many people out, and we expect this many or more in May. So thank you for the work you're doing in your communities, and if there's nothing else to come before this board, we stand adjourned. Thank you.